afternoon, and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Tuesday. To get you through this coronavirus crisis in a world where few things are reliable, we are reliable. It's the Jason Rancho live on AM 770 KTTH, streaming live on the KTTH smartphone app. Got a lot to get to. We only have 3 hours to do it. Gunshot victims with coronavirus. Guess what? They're counted as coronavirus deaths. We've got more details on the Nigerian crime ring that stole hundreds of millions of our money, thanks to the incompetence of Governor Jay Inslee. Plus, the CDC is now warning us about cannibal rats. Oh, 2020, this is the best year ever. This hour of the Jason Rancho is brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? The coronavirus.
So, guess what? Washington State counts gunshot victims as coronavirus-related deaths. This according to state public health officials. This method of counting coronavirus deaths, which could, in fact, pad numbers, pad the data, has incredible implications. One that the governor doesn't want to talk about. One that Democrats don't want to be talking about. Because not only does it artificially increase the death rate of coronavirus, but understand that this data is used by the governor to keep the economy shut down longer than may be necessary. Now, these findings were first reported by the Freedom Foundation. Kudos to them. And now they find itself the target of some weird, weird attacks coming from the governor. So there was a telephone press briefing last Thursday. Public health officials with the Washington State Department of Health, they acknowledged right at the top, that the way they are currently collecting data isn't the normal way. Here's Dr. Katie Hutchison. She is the health statistics manager for the DOH.
So our method that we use gives up-to-date counts related to COVID death is not our usual process for how we track data for deaths in Washington. We had to modify what we normally do in order to quickly meet the data and informational needs of the pandemic response.
So they acknowledge that the data that they have right now is not accurate. They've acknowledged this in the past, that they include the death of anyone who even tested positive for COVID. If they had that test already done and they died, they will automatically count it as someone who died as a result of the coronavirus. And then once they do the full investigation, which, by the way, can take up to 18 months, then they will ultimately decide whether or not someone died as a legitimate result of the coronavirus. But I want you to understand what this means. If someone who is otherwise healthy has a positive coronavirus test, but otherwise is fine, is in that demographic of healthy, younger individual who we don't believe would have anything other than a really, really bad bout of the flu or almost something similar to the flu. And let's say that person gets shot to death. Let's say it's a gangbanger who happens to have coronavirus but is shot in a gang dispute. That person is counted as a coronavirus death. Let's say you are wandering outside, you're going on a walk. It turns out you have the coronavirus. You didn't even know it. You're going out on a walk and a tree falls on you and it kills you. You are, according to the data, a coronavirus death. They actually admit it.
We currently do have some deaths that are being reported that are clearly from other causes. We have about less than five deaths that we know of that are related to obvious other causes. In this case, they are from gunshot wounds.
Gunshot wounds. They know that they did not die from the coronavirus. They know that those five individuals in this case, when specifically talking about gunshot victims, they know that they did not die from the coronavirus, and yet they are still on that list. We understand that there are complexities in counting coronavirus deaths. I acknowledge that. And I take no issue with the way the Department of Health is going about their way. I take issue with the fact that Governor Jay Inslee is pretending that all of these numbers are as meaningful as they are. Remember, they are talking about phasing in a little bit sooner from phase 1 to phase 2 in some counties. And presumably, Some of those counties are going to be able to phase in from 2 to 3 and 3 to 4 a little bit faster than others if the data that they're collecting makes the case. So that's why this is important. Part of the guidance to reopening the economy is contingent, at least right now, on having less than 10 cases of coronavirus per 100,000 residents. Okay? So if we're talking about a smaller county, a Lincoln, a Garfield, a Whatcom, if all of a sudden they've got some increased numbers in coronavirus deaths when maybe, just maybe, it had everything to do with a gang shooting or a tree falling on someone, they could be withheld from moving forward into the next phase. Some of them can literally be one coronavirus positive gunshot victim away from not being allowed to move into that next phase. That's concerning. Now, the Freedom Foundation right now is saying there's about a 13% inflation rate of coronavirus deaths due to these reporting ways, the way that they're reporting these numbers, the gunshot victims, for example. And again, remember, let's just assume that those 5 gunshot victims are all 22 years old. I'm just throwing that out there. Well, that also perverts the data of who is most impacted by the coronavirus. But Freedom Foundation is out there and they're saying, look, the coronavirus deaths right now in Washington State are inflated by about 13%. Okay? They said that a week and a half ago. So this was before this press briefing by the DOH. Last Monday, again, before this press briefing by the DOH, this is what Jay Inslee had to say about the Freedom Foundation.
The problem is you got some people out there who are fanning these conspiracy claims from the planet Pluto. And it's just disgusting what they're trying to say of all these crazy deep state malarkey.
This is not deep state malarkey. This isn't deep state. Your own Department of Health is saying it. It's your Department of Health making these claims. It's not folks talking about a deep state conspiracy. What does this have to do with the deep state? It has nothing to do with the deep state. This has everything to do with accurately discussing the way your department is counting these deaths. There's obviously no legitimate reason to ever count a gunshot victim or a car crash victim or any other death very obviously not related to the coronavirus, a part of the data that he gets. There's no reason for that. And instead of acknowledging that, what does he do? Oh, it's deep state malarkey. Planet Pluto. I know alliteration. Yeah, we got it, Inslee. We know that that's how you operate. Now, in Colorado, they operate a little bit differently. Colorado has a very Democratic governor who has decided to reopen his state, the economy, much faster than so many others. Do you ever hear about Colorado? You hear about Florida, Republican governor, right? You hear about Texas, Republican governor. You hear about Georgia, Republican governor. Don't really hear anything about Colorado because they have a Democratic governor in Jared Polis. Well, they had a very similar situation in Colorado than we have here in Washington State, where they were looking at their numbers and saying, this is not true. These people who were saying died from the coronavirus, they didn't, in fact, die from the coronavirus. And rather than say, we're just going to keep it the way it is for 18 months, they said, no, you know what? We're going to revise our numbers. They did it relatively quickly. And by the way, the revision was pretty sharply down. Now, he didn't say, oh, this is a deep state. He said, oh, no, you know what? This is fair. This is an actual point. And I don't know whether or not he had his version of the Freedom Foundation there making this case, but he did the right thing. In Washington, we choose not to do the right thing. In Washington, we choose to ignore the data that your own department is saying while, by the way, simultaneously saying data science important. He's all about the data and the science. Until the data and the science don't tell the story he wants it to tell. Now, it is also true that during this press briefing that they've not counted about 3,000 deaths that they say, you know what, these 3,000 might in fact be related to the coronavirus. It is possible that they're underreporting the amount of deaths. And I say the exact same thing. Once you find out if they're actually related to the coronavirus crisis, you should 100% report it. And you shouldn't be scared to report it. But we have certainty, with certainty, numbers that are being counted that they know should not be counted. And we've got a governor and other politicians who are making decisions in the real time, using this real time data to justify what it is they're doing. Let's not pretend that the data that they have is wholly accurate. But if you talk to Governor Jay Inslee, it's all about the data and the science. He'll tell you that 10 times in one sentence. He won't actually tell you the data or the science. Apparently, he doesn't really even understand it. His own staff had to dumb it down into a cartoon depiction of a dial so he can understand it. That's the data and the science. We don't have any real data and science that he's presenting to us. Just cartoons. Here's the bottom line. We know that the data that we're getting right now on the coronavirus is wrong. We know it's wrong. We know for certain it's being padded in some cases. And we know for certain in some other cases it might be underreported. I expect that from any department of health, be it Washington or Georgia, New York or California during a pandemic. I get it. But you have certain numbers that you know are wrong. You know for a fact are wrong. Why not just remove them? Why not get rid of those 5 gunshot wound deaths? Why not just be honest and say that? But they're choosing not to, which makes me very suspicious about other numbers that probably should not be on there that remain. And that's bizarre that they can't stand up and say, yeah, we're acknowledging it. And by the way, we're going to remove it tomorrow. But they're not. And that should be suspicious to you. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home?
So what started as a $1.6 million issue has ballooned into hundreds of millions of your dollars, our tax dollars, handed over to a Nigerian crime ring in this employment scam, or I guess I should say unemployment scam, where tens of thousands of Washingtonians, some of you right now, haven't received your unemployment check 10 weeks after making the claim. You're not getting paid with your own money, but fraudsters in Nigeria are. Now, if the commissioner of the Employment Security Department, ESD, if she doesn't want to do the right thing and actually step down, resign, the governor should actually show some leadership here and fire her. Susie Levine is in charge. She's the commissioner of the State Employment Security Department, ESD. She talked about this scam last week after several days of downplaying the seriousness of the scandal. And instead of taking responsibility, what did Susie Levine decide to do? She decided to deflect.
That this is not a breach. That this isn't just happening in Washington State. This is happening to and across the entire nation.
Well, I mean, that's not entirely accurate. It is happening to a few other states, I believe 5 in all. But what she doesn't tell you there is Washington was the primary target. Why was Washington the primary target? Why out of the 50 states did they choose Washington? Is it possible there was a huge vulnerability in the system that they were able to take advantage of? It's not like Washington State has the most people, the biggest population. It's not even like Washington State would be hit the hardest economically based on that. And so if you're a Nigerian crime ring, maybe you're looking at California, New York, Florida. States that have way more people in them than Washington State. They chose Washington State, and her response is not, my bad, this is on me, we're going to fix this, and I'm going to step down. Her response is,
well, it's kind of happening elsewhere. Another state also got hit.
Not to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. And by the way, all of this happened despite a $44 million software upgrade at ESD that was supposed to be able to detect this fraud, and yet somehow it didn't. This happened under her watch. This happened under Susie Levine. And yet she still has a job. She still has a job. We don't know all the details of how this scam happened. We have some. We know that this Nigerian crime ring took advantage of the fact that many, 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 many people all at once were asking for unemployment checks, and so they decided to also ask. using stolen identification. We're not exactly sure we know where they got it from yet. She says it's not a breach. I don't necessarily trust her because it turns out she's incompetent. So they took advantage of that. And there were a ton of red flags. There's a whole piece today in the Seattle Times about the red flags. Banking information from outside of Washington. Basically saying, hey, could you deposit my unemployment check in my bank in Nevada or in Nigeria? That is a red flag. Because where do Washingtonians generally bank, Producer Peyton?
In Washington?
Washington. They bank here in Washington. And so there was a huge red flag there. Then you had a whole bunch of weird email addresses that should have been suspicious. Like user 42573_12@protonmail.com, which is a place you go if you want untraceable emails. They looked at that and they didn't even notice. They didn't even notice. And then they downplayed, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Other places are happening. It's happening to them too. If she had any sense of shame, she would step down. But I guess she doesn't. She's shameless. I guess she doesn't want to lose a consequence-free, cushy job where she's getting paid. Because otherwise, she'd have to go on unemployment. And it, by this rate, it would take 10 weeks for her to get her unemployment check by the very system that she runs right now. So, of course, she's not going to step aside. Of course not. Now, do you expect Governor Jay Inslee to do something? I don't. He should. He should be a leader and fire her. I would fire her in a heartbeat. I would get rid of her last week. But he is a political coward, and he's choosing not to because it would highlight a scandal he wants nothing to do with. Did you notice that he hasn't spoken about this yet? I haven't seen anything. He hasn't done a press briefing. He had one scheduled for today, but was canceled. It's now going to be tomorrow. He could have been a part of this press briefing where we took Susie Levine's response. It was a Zoom meeting. It was digital. He could have been a part of that. He wasn't. In fact, he was supposed to have a press briefing on the day that this was disclosed. They canceled that for this. He didn't decide to pop on that. I'm looking at his Twitter feed. He's not tweeting about it. He wants nothing to do with this. He is MIA on this issue. But by the way, good news. He's pushing for $100 million in stimulus funds to illegal immigrants. He's on that. He's on that issue. This is yet another monumental blunder that should stain his record permanently. Remember, the Department of Corrections released felons early several years ago because of a fault in the algorithm that was determining whether or not someone could be released. Some of those people who were released early went on to commit murder. You had Western State Hospital losing its certification due to mismanagement. Mismanagement that they were given multiple opportunities to address and they didn't. That happened under Jay Inslee. And now we've got this. It is utterly embarrassing. And the media isn't spending that much time talking about it. Todd Herman is. We are. But a lot of folks in the media don't want to really touch this. Why is that? Why is that? Now, if you think she should be fired or should step down, here's what I want you to do. I want you to join me in putting some pressure. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. I'm going to send you a link to my story on this. I want you to post it on Twitter, and I want you to tag Governor Inslee. I want you to tag Susie Levine. I want you to post it on Facebook, and I want you to tag Governor Jay Inslee and Susie Levine. I want you to take the link and go to Governor Jay Inslee's page and post it on his page. They can't silence you. They can't block you for that. Let's get some eyes on this, because frankly, the media is doing a really, really poor job about it. So text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Ew, that's kind of gross.
It's more than just kind of gross. If you didn't already think that 2020 was the worst year ever, at least for those of a certain age, it just got worse. The CDC is now warning about exceptionally aggressive rats. They're aggressive because they're hungry. They're hungry because restaurants are shut down and they don't have trash bins to raid for food, which, by the way, makes me not want to go to a restaurant because now I'm just thinking about all the rats in the bed. But fine, pushing that aside for a moment. You know what it's leading to? Cannibal rats!
Cannibal rats?
Cannibal rats! We have Asian murder hornets, and now we have cannibal rats, according to the CDC. And guess where they're coming? They're coming to your home. They're now going to homes looking for food. This according to the Washington Post. Rats pose an additional threat to those working from home. They can devour cars. Rats gnawing at car engines and tires have caused fires, cost car owners fortunes, and goaded officials to seek do-it-yourself solutions. Urban rodentologist, which sounds completely made up. Rodentologist?
How dare you disrespect the scientist of a rodent?
Doesn't sound like a scientist. Doesn't have a doctor next to his name. Urban rodentologist, as if it's different from, I guess, suburban farming rodentologists. Urban rodentologist Bobby Corrigan foresaw increased reports of aggressive rodents when the pandemic began. He's like a soothsayer. He can see the future. Corrigan told the Post that a pest expert sent him a photo after a gruesome rat battle in Queens. A nest of rats had left to scrounge for food at their usual city block of restaurants, but turned on each other when they couldn't find enough scraps. A pile of rat limbs on the sidewalk was all that remained. Do you not eat the rat paws?
Don't ask me. I'm not a cannibal
rodent.
You'll
eat its head, but you won't eat its little legs?
Ask that Ratatouille fellow.
Oh, my God.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, because you know what I really want to eat right now? Anything prepared by a cannibal rat. That sounds so appetizing. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, 2020 won't just be remembered as the year of the coronavirus or the cannibal rats. It might be the year that we decided to give up on modeling. Not the fun kind of modeling that we see, but the kind of boring scientific modeling that has proven to be just wrong time and time again. We're going to get into that when we come back on the Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. 2020 will be the year not just of the coronavirus crisis, although obviously people will be talking about it, but I think it will also be the year in which scientific models let the world down, let your communities down. Because we were told about how the models were predicting almost an end-of-day scenario for folks all across the globe if they didn't adopt very, very, very strict self-isolation. Model after model after model after more model said you would get hit with unheard numbers of death. Even in best case scenarios, hundreds of thousands of people will be dead. Even if every single person stays home, even if you adopt the strictest of social distancing, best case, 200,000 dead last month just in the United States. Now, on this show, we highlighted a statement that was made several times by various public health officials like Dr. Anthony Fauci, who said the modeling is only as good as the data you put into it. And so on this show, we helped to try to put context to some of these models. But Democrats were using the models, using the data from these models to justify their policies. They set up a situation in which it was untenable for them to win unless the modeling was perfect. They said, you cannot mow your own lawn. You cannot fish alone in a boat because models, because data, because science. You can't travel to your second property because science. You can't work on a privately funded construction site, publicly funded, you can do that, because data. Didn't you see that UW model? We are terrified of it. Now, certainly there are ways to look at the modeling in a responsible way. But instead, you had politicians using the modeling to push forward political positions. Then you had the governors who sort of bucked the science, the data, the modeling that the Democrats were using. Jay Inslee, data science, says it over and over and over again. He's going to let science and data guide everything that he does during his stay-at-home orders because he is the only one who cares about you. Those Republicans hate you. They want to see you die. I want to see you live. I'm going to use the science. Then you had some governors like DeSantis, Abbott, step up and say, you know what? I don't necessarily trust all this data. I think we can do a reopening of our economy in a safe way. Now, we were told, we were warned, we were promised a whole bunch of dead Americans. Florida reopening? Texas opening? Georgia opening? Wisconsin? Oh my gosh. Dead Americans. Did we see that? No, we didn't. We didn't see it despite what felt like some Democrats wanting to see. I know that that's a horrible thing to say, but I do believe there were some Democrats who were hoping for dead red state Americans so they can rub the results in Trump's face or in the governor's face. Use those dead bodies to say, see, told you so. We're so much smarter here in Washington, here in New York, here in California. So much smarter, the Democrats. As of this morning, Governor Greg Abbott, the Republican from Texas who decided a few weeks ago to start to reopen. Oh my God, people were able to get their hair cut. He tweeted that they've got the fewest coronavirus deaths since the end of March. The fewest hospitalizations since mid-April. They have the second most recovered from the coronavirus in the entire country. When you look in Florida, they continue to do well. Compare their 2,233 deaths in a state that has over 22 million people to New York's deaths of 23,282, a state that has just under 20 million. Isn't it weird that Florida, a state that decided to reopen their economy in a responsible way, is doing so much better than New York, which is still under a lockdown? Florida has more people than New York. Weird how that works. Over in Arkansas, the governor there, Asa Hutchinson, he was on Fox News this morning, and he pointed out that the statistics, all these experts touting all this data, they're losing a lot of credibility.
Well, we're taking significant action in both opening up our economy, which we never shut down, but also gradually lifting restrictions so we can measure where there is an outbreak or a problem that we have to address. And so when I said that there's a second spike that we're seeing, it's really hard to know exactly where these projections are going. Their projections and modeling has lost a lot of credibility.
Yep.
And so we're having to dig deep into the data. We're having to dig deep as where these cases are, what's causing those. And that's what we're concentrating on. And whenever you look at our numbers are very modest, low death rate compared to other states. We have our hospitalizations are still less than 100. And so even though we saw a second spike, it's fairly modest compared to where we are in a lot of other hot spots.
I love folks pointing out that they had a spike in Arkansas. In the entire state, they saw 115 deaths. The entire state, 115. There was a story this morning in the New York Times, not Fox News, not Breitbart, not the Daily Caller or the Daily Wire, but the New York Times. You know what the title of it was? The coronavirus is deadliest where Democrats live. But it's not just where Democrats live, it's where Democrats are in charge. They say Democrats are far more likely to live in counties where the virus has ravaged the community, while Republicans are more likely to live in counties that have been relatively unscathed by the illness, though they are paying an economic price. Counties won by President Trump in 2016 have reported just 27% of the virus infections and 21% of the deaths, even though 45% of Americans live in these communities. And they're citing their own analysis over at the New York Times. The Republican governors and the Republican leaders and the towns that vote Republican, they are doing so much better than the Democrats are with the coronavirus crisis. Ask yourself why that is. Sometimes there's no real rhyme or reason. It's just a coincidence. I don't think that's the case here. I don't. And we've talked about it on the show in the past. In a lot of ways, the way these governors have reacted to the coronavirus is the epitome of what their ideology stands for. What do we generally hear from Republicans? Generally speaking, less government interference, not more. Personal responsibility. We're giving you the data about the coronavirus. We're giving you guidance that we think you should take. But you know what? We're going to treat you as an adult, and you're going to be able to decide for yourself whether or not you want to go get your hair cut. What have we seen from the Democrats? The opposite, right? And again, this is not me digging a ditch to push all the Democrats into. And well, that got morbid really quickly. I was going to say and then throw the dirt back. I'm not saying we should.
It sounds like you've had these thoughts before, Jason.
I'm not going to confirm nor deny that because this could be played in court. I'm simply saying, what do we generally hear from the Democrats? More government interference, right? We're going to make the decision on your behalf because we don't necessarily trust you to make the decision on your own. And we've seen this on the tiny scale, right? Of you can't have a sugary beverage, so we're going to tax the hell out of it because we want to stop you from drinking it. You don't get to have that plastic bag. We don't trust you to reuse it or recycle it properly. And then we see it come into play with the coronavirus. You can't even go into a boat and fish alone because we don't trust you. Those policies have not worked. Those policies have not worked. The data makes that very, very clear, unless I'm to believe that the New York Times all of a sudden is become a hardcore Republican rag. Steve Moore, economist, former Trump campaign advisor, he was also on Fox News today.
We've made multi-trillion dollar decisions based on very faulty science over the last 6 or 8 weeks. And books will be written about the incredibly bad science that's been applied here. Now, it is true this was a virus we didn't know a lot about, but this lockdown of our economy has done very substantial damage to Americans, millions of Americans, who tens of millions have lost their jobs, millions have lost their businesses. And, you know, the thing that I find troubling here is, you know, they keep saying, follow the science. You have to follow science. And yet the science keeps changing.
The king of science and data, Jay Inslee, right here in Washington State, he's saying the 39-year-old accountant who lives in Bothell can't go to work. He's saying the 46-year-old hairstylist in Gig Harbor or Renton or Puyallup can't go ahead and cut hair because, he says, data, science. Does the coronavirus hit us differently here in Washington State? 61% of coronavirus deaths in Washington have happened in elder care facilities. 90% of the deaths are folks over the age of 60. He is not looking at data and science. If he were, we would have slightly different stay-at-home orders, wouldn't we? And when you question Jay Inslee on it, he throws a fit. We've got audio that we're going to play in the 4 o'clock hour. You're not going to want to miss. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. When we come back, TV's dumbest comedian, Joy Behar, makes a point that she doesn't quite understand. And you can tell she doesn't understand it because her point is stupid. Was that a good tease?
It was just blunt.
Sometimes you just got to be blunt. It's The Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rand Show. We are live on this Tuesday afternoon. I hope everyone enjoyed their three-day weekend. I spent it writing many, many, many blogs that are available right now at ktth.com. In fact, I've got one that is mostly photos. In fact, 18 shocking photos of how homelessness has completely taken over parts of Ballard in Seattle. And when I say shocking, I'm saying it's shocking from my perspective as someone who actually lives in this region. I've covered this for years. I've gone out into the communities, embedded with the SPD, embedded with the navigation team, and I've seen all of this stuff in person. I've never seen it as bad as this. So if you want to look at these photos, and I do warn you, you are going to be pissed off. You're going to be disgusted, but you're going to be pissed off that this is what's happening to our communities. If you want to see these photos, go to ktth.com or just text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770, and I'll send you a link to this. But again, there's a warning. These are at least PG-13 rated. It would have been R, but I censored some bad language that was on a sign at one of the encampments that said, my camp or my tent, my rules, mother... I bleep that.
That's super kind of you, Jason.
I did that to protect folks. Text RANTZ to 1-800-465-8770. TV's dumbest comedian, Joy Behar, who's co-host to TV's dumbest lawyer, Sonny Hostin, on The View. She doesn't understand anything she says. I'm pretty confident that she has just a general understanding or what she thinks is an understanding of a topic because she trolls Twitter, I guess, and she only stays in her little echo chamber of dumb. And she doesn't quite understand fully the concept she wants to debate. And it's clear because, like, you could just listen to her. And lots of people suffer from this. Lots of people suffer. I don't, because I'm a brilliant talk show host, and you guys don't, because you're brilliant. I mean, Peyton probably a little bit, but for folks at home listening right now, across, whether you're in Shoreline or Squim, you're all good to go. She's a dum-dum. She truly is. She took a position today that Trump doesn't care if you are to get sick and even die from the coronavirus, because he, of course, is saying we need to reopen our economy. She's saying, you're just a pawn, although because of her New York accent, she says porns, it sounds like. But she thinks you guys are all pawns. Listen to this.
You know, when we live in a democracy, we sign what they call a social contract. I believe it was John Locke, who I dated, by the way. No, kidding. But John Locke said...
By the way, the John Locke thing, she has no clue who John Locke is. She's never heard of him until she saw a tweet about it. I guarantee you. And she didn't read the full tweet. It was probably a thread tweet, and she just saw one particular tweet about John Locke. It was like, oh, social contract. That makes sense. Okay, go.
That, you know, that you have a social, you have a social contract that you sign. So certain rules you have to follow. You know, you can't drive in if you're drunk. You have to wear a seatbelt. You're not allowed to smoke in public. Things like that. That you sign those, you sign away your freedom in a way to be restricted in your car.
Okay, just real quick, dum-dum. You do not have a constitutional right to drive a car. It is a privilege. It is not a right. You do not have a right to get into that car. So anything that you're about to say here is already starting off on a point that is invalid. But please continue with your stupid.
So if you, and if you don't abide by this, you go to jail or you are fined. But the rules are being distorted by Trump and his enablers in the Congress, in particular, the leaders in Congress who are enabling him. He's playing a political game with people's lives. And these people do not realize that they are pawns in his game. He only wants to be reelected. He doesn't really care if you live or die.
He doesn't care if you live or die. He just wants your vote, which you wouldn't be able to give if you were dead from the coronavirus. Unless, of course, you were a Democrat, because dead people weirdly vote for Democrats a lot. Her point is so absurdly stupid. That's the only way you can respond to something like this. Do you think if you were to listen to Donald Trump and go back into the economy and you got sick, do you think you might blame the president? Just a little bit. Maybe have some level of resentment. He's telling you to go out, and then you go out and you get sick and you almost die. You probably hold some resentment to the president. The president does not win by putting people out there and creating more sick individuals or dead individuals. That politically hurts him, right? Wouldn't a reasonable, smart person realize that? That he's not going to win votes if you literally die from the coronavirus? Because again, unless you're in Chicago, you can't vote if you're dead. And parts of LA. And New York. And a little bit in Florida, but it depends.
Unless this is a conspiracy, Jason, and he's just killing the Democrats by
the
telling
Democrats
them to go restart.
To listen to him. Her whole point does not make sense. The president, right now, does not want people to die. If more people die, it looks bad for him politically. If we're choosing just to look at this politically, that is a bad look. A good look is flattening the curve, right? Certainly politically, a good look is the economy starting to boom again, because under this president, the economy has done really, really, really well in an unprecedented way. But it would be a bad look politically and from a public health perspective if after he told people to go out safely and enjoy the economy again and reopen states, if people started to die, if the cases of death started to skyrocket, you could tie it directly to him. How does that help him politically? If you're just a pawns, which she means pawns.
Does she?
I think she does.
Maybe she means pawns.
No, she doesn't mean pawns. That doesn't make any sense. Pawns makes sense.
Nothing she said made sense,
That's
Jason.
Fair. That is fair.
So maybe it is pawns.
God, who knew she was such a pervert? Her point is just so dumb. And again, remember, she's conflating the so-called right to drive drunk in a car, which is not a right, to the right to be able to travel, to leave your home. That is an actual right. to be able to move is an actual right. The ability to get drunk and then drive, not a right. But she conflates the two because she's just not bright. Unlike Sunny, who's got a bright name, but is also a dimble. Which is, again, weirdly a pun that I did not intend. It's a Jason Rand Show.